Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for this new day, this beautiful day that's the sun shining and the warmer temperatures, and we see spring breaking out and things starting to grow, and you know, it's just a newness of life. And so we thank you. We thank you for that. We thank you for all your provision. Everything that you have created, you sustain. Even though man tries to tear many things down that you have done, but you keep the things that are important. And so for us, Lord, we thank you for your love and your guidance in each of our lives. We thank you for the gift of Jesus that we can celebrate this time of year, you know, particularly today with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey. And then next week we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And so we thank you for this time of year. This spring reminds us of new life. And so we have that reminder that we can always take pleasure in and enjoy. And so we thank you for all that you provide. We thank you for the people who have come. We thank you for the people who may be listening in. I just pray that you'll guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit to see the things that you want us to see in your word, particularly in the Psalms, as we read through some of them today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to get started so I don't get sidetracked too much, and we make some headway in getting through book two. So we'll turn. You should have your Bibles open to Psalm 49. And 49, I've chosen to start with verse 10, so I'm skipping the first nine verses. But please go back on your own, see what's in those first nine verses that may give you some insights into the whole situation. Now, this is the last of the Psalms that were written by Korah. Korah, the sons of Korah. And so some of the ones earlier we read last week were Korah inspired or given. And so but I'm going to skip those first nine verses and start with verse 10 all the way through the end with verse 20, so 11 verses. So as we read it, just kind of reflect upon the words and see what, you know, comes to mind for you. For all can see that wise men die. You know, I can't help but reflect upon that. We're all appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. So no matter how wise someone is, you know, Elon Musk is receiving a lot of attention, let's just put it that way, in our world today. Not all good from the left standpoint, but I think his heart is right. I think he wants to help Trump make an improvement in what's happening with our money and all the fraud that's been overlooked through the years, basically. I think a lot of things are being discovered that I think should have been discovered long ago. But we'll just see how this goes. He's also getting a lot of negative attention. You know, his famous car is now being burned up. But the Trump administration is attempting to bring serious charges against anybody that's doing this. So we got a lot in the news to consider. So I just read that. For all can see that wise men die. No matter how smart the person is, whatever. We're all appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. The foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. And that's just the reality. You can't take it with you. And so it's even those that try. So their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. And again, we have, at least in my margin, and hopefully in your Bibles too, Selah. And that Selah should be just a reflection point. Just stop, pause, reflect, emphasize, and then go on. And so verse 14 goes with, like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. We can't get by without it, unless Christ returns. And that's our hope, our continual hope, that Christ comes back for his church, for the body of believers. But the odds are we're still all have to face death at some point. And death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. Just a statement of truth. Verse 15, but God, and this is important, will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. Again, another Selah. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him, though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper. He will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of life. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish, no better than the beasts of the field. So, pretty reflective, and it should be something we all take to heart. We're in this body, in this life, for a time, and you know, whether that's a short-lived time, we don't know sometimes, and sometimes people live to ripe old age, but it's a fact of life. So anyway, that's a reflection. Let's go on with Psalm 50. There I want to read verses 1 to 6 and then 14 to 17, picking out again a psalm of Asaph. Asaph here now on this one. The mighty one, God, the Lord, Yahweh, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. Have you ever thought of just watching the sun cross the path of the sky every day, and then through the night it disappears, and then it appears again if there's no clouds? You know, it's a continual process. God has made it that way, created it that way, and we just should be in awe. How is all this put together? When you study scientifically, you know, how we even can stand upright. You know, gravity, there's different things that play a part. But I just think that verse is thought-provoking. The mighty one, God, the Lord, God himself, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to place where it set. He has done that from the time he created it until now and on from here. From Zion, the Lord's place of renown, which is Jerusalem, at the Temple Mount, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. That's where he lays his hand. That's where he wants to reside. And ultimately, we know the future, as best the Bible tells us, when Jesus returns, sets up his kingdom, millennial kingdom, he will rule and reign from there, Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Verse 3, our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness. For God himself is judge. And so, again, it ends there with Selah. And so then I'm going to skip forward to verse 10. I read 1 to 6. So verse 10, I'm sorry, verse 14 to 17. I have yet to do. I can't keep all these numbers straight. Okay, so we'll move forward to 14 to 17. Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. And so we'll stop there. You read for yourself the other verses and see. I mean, I guess I would recommend that you have a notepad with you, and if something speaks to you, write it down. And maybe then search it a little further in the totality of Scripture or the totality of the Psalms even. So, okay, then we're going to move on to Psalm 51 and 57, and I'm going to read every word of each of these Psalms. Maybe reflect upon a little bit on some of them, but I encourage you to just take it to heart. You know, take the word to heart. Anything that speaks to you, jot a note and study it a little bit on your own. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. That could be a prayer every morning. We start the day with. Maybe a prayer that we end the day with as well. And then verse 2. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, it's something, because we continually sin, we know that, whether by thought, word, or deed, it happens. So we need to continually ask for forgiveness, wash away the sins. Verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. When you recognize the sin that you commit, ask for forgiveness and make it right. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your eye, in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And I think there's probably a lot of people in the world that don't think that's true. How can that baby be sinful? Can't even formulate thought, can't even do anything, but we are. We're born sinful. It is our natural state, and we need to realize that. Verse 6, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. We should always be seeking God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Sometimes we use man's wisdom, but it's God's wisdom that we need to continually seek. Verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create, and these words should speak to all of us, Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Think about that. A broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bowls will be offered on your altar. You know, there will be sacrifice in the millennial kingdom. And we would say, well, why is that necessary? You know, we will have renewed bodies and everything else. But there will be children born in the millennial kingdom. They will not be righteous unless they recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And so there will be sacrifices. And so, you know, we're not done with sacrifices by any means. So I think this psalm reminds us of that. Psalm 52, again, reading all nine verses. This again is from David. He was reflecting on the time of Saul, him and Saul. And David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. And so if you, I don't know what, it's in Kings somewhere. So anyway, you can cross-reference it, and you can read the account, of the literal account of what David was going through at the time that he wrote this. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You know, that's a verse that, if I'm watching TV, and I'm seeing somebody speak garbage, total garbage on TV, it just is a reminder. Why do you boast of evil? What, you mighty man, why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You love evil rather than good. How much of that do we see going on? Falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word. Oh, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. And that's a perfect time to have a Selah. Reflect upon that. Think about it. Verse 6. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth. How prevalent is that today in our culture? And grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. Powerful words. I mean, those are very reflective as we, you know, even look at our times and look at what's going on in the world today, and, you know, just come, Lord Jesus. It's about the only thing you can say. You know, how is this going to change? Okay, Psalm 53 is 6 verses, and I'll be reading all those. This is powerful words as well. Again, this is David. And the first thing he says, the fool, this is so true, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. How many in our world today, how many in our culture, basically by their actions, are demonstrating this? In their mind, there is no God. This is just life. You're born, you know, you grow up, you find your own way, you do your own thing, you take advantage of whatever you want to take advantage of, and then we all know we're all appointed once to die. But they don't care. Death means nothing to them until it comes close, and then it may mean something. So that verse itself is something that I think it's good to have memorized, because if you run into a family member who just doesn't want to hear any of this stuff, you know, don't want to deal with this, in a gentle way, you could read this verse. The fool. You know, we just had April Fool's Day, April 1st. It should be a reminder. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so forth. God looks down from heaven, verse 2, on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away, and they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will the evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread, and who do not call on God? There they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when God restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. That's almost should be our prayer as we look at what's going on in our times. Because God promises he will restore Israel, the fortunes of his people. And Jacob is the name here, but he also uses his other name. This is Israel, the place. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. So those who choose of their own to deny the future, the plan that God has for Israel, his chosen people, the descendants of Jacob, Jacob who was given the name Israel. You know, it's just, it's so disturbing to me, and it's one of the reasons I left my church, previous church, because they believed in replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel in all of God's plans. And if Israel doesn't choose to become part of the church, they're lost. And that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what tribe I'm in. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You don't have your genealogy.
Tribe of Jacob.
Yeah, so anyway, so let me go on with Psalm 54 here. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for man. For God, I'm sorry. Selah. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. We'll move on to Psalm 55 here. Let's see. I don't know why I separated the one. It's 23 verses, and I'll just read all of them. I think ones I kind of emphasize, so as we get to those. This again is a Psalm of David. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked. For they bring down suffering upon me and revile me, me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert, Selah. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Confuse the wicked, O Lord, confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within you, within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave. For evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and the Lord Yahweh saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Even though many oppose me, God, who enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Pause, Selah. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter. Yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil. Yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. That's what we all need to seek and put our trust in God, no matter what comes our way. Okay, Psalm 56, all 13 verses. Again, I think, let it speak to you whatever God is emphasizing. Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears on your scrolls. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And then the 57, which is the last of the ones for now that I'll be just reading the whole thing. There's 11 verses in Psalm 57. And again, it's the tune, mine reads anyway, is Do Not Destroy. And of course, it's David's psalm when he fled from Saul into the caves. Remember that he cut off a portion of his garment and so forth to show that he was there, snuck in. Okay, so have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings, under the disaster, until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who wholly pursue me. Again, that's an interesting pause there with Selah. And then it's finished with God sends His love and His faithfulness. So you wait upon Him, wait upon the Lord. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path. And they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, in Psalm 58, which is the last one here in the list that you can't probably see, I'm going to do verses 1 to 3, and then 10 and 11, and then you can kind of fill in the rest for yourself. But 1 to 3, Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Question. Do you judge uprightly among men? And then answer. No, in your heart you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward and speak lies. And then the last two verses of Psalm 58, 10 and 11. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged, when they bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. And so that's what we continue to look for. We're going to go on with Psalm 59. Again, I'm reading 1 to 5 to start with, and then we'll skip a little bit. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, O Lord. Verse 4, I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. O Lord, God Almighty, the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. Selah. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths. They spew out swords from their lips, and they say, who can hear? I'm going to skip, I'm reading on here, verses 8 all the way to 17. So we'll finish the rest of it. I almost read the whole thing, so. But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all those nations. O my strength, I watch for you. O God, are my fortress, my loving God. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. But do not kill them, O Lord, our shield. Or my people will forget. In your might, make them wander about and bring them down. For the sins of their mouths, for the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride, for the curses and lies they utter. Consume them in wrath, consume them till they are no more. Then it will be known to the ends of the earth that God rules over Jacob, Selah. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. They wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. To you, O God, you are my fortress, my loving God. I think we'll probably stop there, 59. We'll pick up with 60, and perhaps maybe able to finish it next week, this book. There's a lot to reflect upon here, and so I encourage you to, even though I've read quite a bit of it, it's hard to comprehend everything, so you should use some time of reflection, time of prayer and reading, scripture reading, and go through some of it again and see what then speaks to you. And so I encourage you to do that. So we'll stop there with 59 and pick up next week from there. So let's pray as we prepare for our time of worship this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us in your word. We thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for all the Psalms. We thank you for those that we've specifically read this day. We ask for your guidance of your Holy Spirit to help remind us to reflect upon many of the words that primarily David shared in these Psalms and reflect upon how so much of that we can pray about or reflect upon today in our world today and the struggles we see around us and going on in our families and our lives and our country and our churches, you know, whatever it may be that's heavy on our heart. And we thank you for the opportunity to study your word and reflect upon it. So we thank you for that. But we ask you now, Lord, to be with us in our time of worship. Every part of our worship service has been planned out. And so I pray for each part of the worship service, particularly as we seek prayer. We seek prayer. We always want to hear answers to prayer so we can give you the praise and the glory for answers to prayers in our lives. And we thank you for the prayers that will be lifted up. We thank you for the word that will be shared. We thank you for the time of communion that we will have together in this place as we do each Sunday. We thank you for that. We ask that you prepare the scripture as we prepare for the message as well. And as we look at this particular day and reflect upon this day and the meaning of this day. Almost, we believe, 2,000 years, not to the exact year, but within a few years of it being 2,000 years ago that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey and was proclaimed King, Messiah. But yet the people turned on him, and he, as he was destined to do, went to the cross. But we thank you for that you gave up your own son so that we can have salvation through believing and trusting in him, putting our faith and trust in him. So thank you, Lord, for each part of our service, the message that Raymond will share, the music that we sing. We thank you for the blessing of the music, for Charmaine's selections and what we will sing. Help us to rejoice in everything that we experience and participate here. And so bless our time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.